Good morning. Isn't that great? People just choosing to get baptized on the spot. I had that happen to me once in a service that we were doing, a baptism service. And this older lady who'd done Alpha suddenly realized she wanted to be baptized. And she said, I'm coming in as well. And we said, oh, that's great. But she was so excited, she just started to walk towards the pool, taking her clothes off. So we had to stop her a little bit and say, try and get some thing to wear first. But anyway, it's always great. Baptism's exciting. I remember I was baptised years ago, actually in the River Tees, before it was cleaned up as well. So that was a big step of faith in lots of ways. And sometimes at night I still glow in the dark. There you are. Anyway. I just want to share with you a few thoughts from the first ever baptism service that the church had, which was the day of Pentecost, and a few little verses from there where it says this. It says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to breaking of bread and prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs that were performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and their possessions to give to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's a good start, isn't it? Good start for the church. That's how the church started. It didn't start like an aeroplane on the end of a runway, slowly building up speed, getting faster and faster and faster. It literally took off like a rocket from in one moment. It was instant power, miracles, salvations. It was much more like a rocket, like a countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. The Holy Spirit comes down. And this is exactly the type of thing that happens when the church is really being the church. That's why it's great to see people being baptized. It's great to see people healed. It's great to see sins forgiven. It's great to see miracles and all of those things that are available right now here today because Jesus is here. And that's what Christianity is. Christianity is the living reality of Jesus on earth. It's not a religion. It's the kingdom of God on earth, here, right now. And let me just give you a little bit of background to what happened that day. Why the church went from 120 to 3,000 in one day. That's awesome growth, isn't it? They went to sleep one night, 120 of them. Went to sleep the next night, 3,120 of them. That's awesome, isn't it? That's how the church began. Just took off. And personally, you can experience exactly the same thing today. You can just take off in the same way as you experience God. This is what happened. Jesus died and rose again, taught his disciples for 40 days, ascended back into heaven, and he said to them, wait, I've got something for you. I've got power from heaven for you. You wait for it. Don't set off to win the world yet. So they did. They waited in Jerusalem. And they were waiting and praying, 120 of them praying in this upper room. And then, it's interesting, the little Bible details, isn't it? It says at 9 o'clock in the morning, suddenly it happened. The Holy Spirit came from heaven. There was a noise. They were in a city where there was thousands and thousands of pilgrims in Jerusalem. It was a religious festival. And they heard this noise, it says, like a mighty rushing wind. And they were all who were in the house filled with the Holy Spirit. They saw tongues of fire which appeared on their heads. They began to speak in new languages. And they were absolutely filled with God and animated and free. And suddenly they were out preaching and telling the world about the wonders of God. This all just happens in a few moments. It's amazing, really, how the church began. This is the first baptism service. And the city is stirred by this noise. It must have been a big noise. It says when they heard this noise, the people came running. They're in the temple in the city doing their usual religious things, going through the religious services and ceremonies. And they hear this noise from heaven, like a mighty rushing wind. This was in the days before jet engines. So they never heard anything like it. I don't know what it sounded like, but it must have been, you know, and loud, you know. That sounded a bit more like cappuccino, didn't it? But better than that. And it's such a sound, the city is stirred, and they come running out the temple, and what's going on? And they're gathering round this house. This house where these 120 followers of Jesus are, who are now on fire, filled with the Holy Spirit, and preaching. And they gather round them because they're animated, something's happening, the crowds are gathering round this house. I don't know whether they're on the roof or what, but they're visible and they can be heard. And they're preaching and telling the wonders of God in different languages. And all these pilgrims from different parts of the world are hearing them preach in their languages. People from Kazakhstan are there hearing them. People from North Africa hearing them. Loads of different languages. And people are absolutely astounded. Some people start to mock a little bit and say, oh, they're drunk. They're drunk. They're out their heads. And Peter sort of steadies that and says, actually, we're not drunk. We're totally lucid and with it, we're filled. This is the Holy Spirit. This is Christianity, day one. Fully. And then he preaches this message about Jesus, this simple message that changes the world, that's got all the way managed to get here, still changing lives, life after life after life. That simple message about Jesus, which is the most important thing you'll ever hear, ever, that Jesus loves you, that he died for your sins on the cross, that he rose again for you. That when you had no time for God, weren't interested in God, weren't looking for God, he was looking for you and loves you and sent his son to die for you. That little piece of information is the power of God and can utterly change your life. They heard that and they were touched in their heart. They were cut. It said to the heart. And then they just said, well, what should we do? Look, we believe. What should we do? And I love it. It's just so instant, isn't it? It's instant. Paul said earlier, you know, you're in the kingdom of darkness, kingdom of Satan. And then immediately, it's a good word. It's a good Christian word. Immediately, as you believe, you move into the kingdom. And it is immediate. It's instant. That's why you can experience God right now, here, right now. Christianity isn't religion. Religion takes a long time. Because religion works like this. You do the work. You're building your bridge to God through keeping the commandments or doing, and all religions are the same. All world religions and even a form of Christianity that isn't Christianity is the same. You do the work. You build the bridge to God. You reach God. And it takes a long time because it takes your whole life. Because I've got to spend my whole life trying to be good. And then at the end of my life, I'll see how I did. That's how religion works. And it doesn't work. Christianity is the opposite of that. Religion is man building a bridge to God. Christianity is God building a bridge to man. Religion is man trying to reach for God. Christianity is God reaching for man and getting hold of him. That's why Christianity is instant. The effect of it is immediate. It's now. The Bible always uses those kind of words. Now is the day of salvation. You can have your sins forgiven this morning. You can walk in this room, one person, and walk out another. Free. Healed. Filled with God. Having met the Lord, you can. Christianity is instant because actually the work is done. The work is done. That's what Peter preached that day. That Jesus died and rose again so you can come to know God now. It's all done. Religion is do, do, do. Do the right thing. Do the rules. Do the commandments. Do, do, do. Christianity is done. It's done. He did it for us on the cross. Jesus did it. You can either build your own bridge to God or you can walk over Jesus' bridge, which is completed. That's why you can do it now. That's what Jesus meant on the cross when he said, "It is finished." It's finished. The work is finished. It's completed. It's all done. So if you'd like to, you can come to God. If you'd like to, you can experience this life change that is so supernatural and instant. Instant. You don't have to wait till you're good enough. That isn't what qualifies you. What qualifies you is, would you like it? Are you willing to come? Do you know that you need forgiveness? That's what qualifies you. And then you're in. These people had never heard this message before. They hadn't been on an Alpha course. They hadn't had 10 weeks to think about it. This was the first time they'd ever heard it, and they believed. They were just caught by the power of it, the reality of it, the conviction of it. It's true. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Now repent, come in, be saved. So they just ask a really good, nice, practical question. Well, we believe, so what should we do? And Peter gives them a nice, practical answer. He says, first of all, and this is it, if you want another quick start for Christianity, how to really make it work, this is it. How to get all the buttons on and get experience in it, this is it. How many of you read, when you get something like a piece of new technology, like a new CD player or something, how many of you read through all those little instructions and small print things? And one, okay, you come forward now, we'll pray for you. You need help, my friend. Now, most of us, there's another little piece of paper, isn't there, called the Quick Start Guide. And you just go for that. You just want it on, switch it on, fiddle about with it, and you'll soon have it. Well, this is the Quick Start Guide. Christianity has a Quick Start Guide. Actually, it's the only start guide. It's very simple, Christianity. It is. But absolutely real and life-changing. If you want to know God, he's how to do it. One, repent. Repent. Repent just means to change your mind. To turn to God, change your mind. That's it. It's as simple as that. Isn't it great to be able to change your mind? Isn't it great to be able to admit you're wrong when you're wrong? Is there any dads in here today? Isn't it great being a dad and being able to be wrong? To be in the leader of the house and the household and say, right, we're going to go this way, we're going to do this. Then as you start, you suddenly realise, I'm wrong. Isn't it marvellous to be able to say, hang on, I've made a mistake. I've changed my mind. We're wrong. I'm wrong. Let's go in this direction. There's a great freedom in that. If you're humble enough to be able to do it, then you're very wise. That's what it means to repent. Just say, I thought one thing, but you know what? I was wrong. I thought I could live without God, but you know what? I was wrong. I can't. I thought I'd go to heaven when I died, and just on my own merit. Do you know what? I've realized today, I'm wrong. I was wrong. I changed my mind today. I changed my mind. I thought I could live ignoring Jesus Christ, ignorant of Jesus Christ. I realize I can't. I'm wrong. I need to change my life. the values and things I do in my life. I think I can live a sinful life, do what I like, be immoral, be selfish, love money, do my own thing, and still somehow be a goodie and go to heaven when I die. Do you know what? I'm wrong. No, I need to repent. I need to follow Jesus. I need to get my life sorted out. If that's you today, then God bless you. You're it. You're coming in. That's all you need to do. Repent. Turn to him in your mind, in your will. You've lived a life of rejecting God, Jesus, even by just ignoring him. Now, turn to him. Turn to him. And when you do that, you're coming in. Peter said, what should we do? Peter said, first thing. It's always the first thing. It's what John the Baptist preached. It's what Jesus preached. John the Baptist started to preach. He said, repent. Jesus started to preach, repent. Here we have the early church. Message hasn't changed. Repent. God has set a day on which he's going to judge the world. So repent. In the past, God overlooked the sins of the nations, but now he commands all men everywhere, that might include you, to repent. Repent. Turn back to God. Secondly, you get baptized. You just do. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Interesting phrase. Every one of you. Jesus was baptized. So what makes us think that we don't need to be? Baptism in water is important. It's dramatic. It's prophetic. It's public. And it's supernatural. Something happens when you're baptized. It does. It's a picture of what happened in the Old Testament when the people of God were in slavery and God led them through the water, through the Red Sea. And they went down into the sea and up out the other side. It's a picture of baptism. Their enemies tried to follow them and they couldn't. Their enemies couldn't make it through. They couldn't go the same way. Some of us are battling with things in our past. We're wondering how to get it sorted. How can I be free? How can I experience real Christian victory and power? And yet, some of us have not been baptized yet. That's amazing. That's part of God's answer. To shut the door on your past properly, it is. I remember hearing about a school teacher, you might have heard this. A school teacher who was in a secondary school, and the kids in his class were involved in a bit of the occult and playing, experimenting with the Ouija board. And they were finding out accurate information from this Ouija board about people in the class and even about the teacher. He wasn't very happy about it. And he was a Christian. And they said to him, oh, sir, we've been asking the Ouija board all questions about you and it's been telling us information. So, but one thing we can't understand, sir, is that the Ouija board says you died at this certain date. And it can't tell us any information about you beyond that date. And then he remembered, he said, you know what, that was the date I was baptized. Something was shut on the enemy. Something was shut. A door was shut on the past for him when he got baptized. Have you been baptized yet? It's just a question. You know, if you haven't done it, do it. Don't play around it. Just get it done. Just get in. Just put your name down and join that queue that millions have been in through church history. Multi-millions. And do what Jesus said. Jesus said this. Preach the gospel to every creature. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. That's what he said. There's something about baptism that puts a big amen on your faith. And it's supernatural as well. And then he says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is just part of being a Christian. It's part of being saved, actually. I've experienced the fullness of salvation. You will not experience the fullness of salvation unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Baptized in water. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the fire from God. That's what Jesus came to do. To baptize you with power from heaven. Then all your Christian buttons are on. Then you're in. Then it works. It does. And you need to be filled, absolutely filled with the Holy Spirit. We all do. Filled. Otherwise it just doesn't work. That was my own experience. When I became a Christian, and I believed everything, and I wanted to respond to everything, but it just didn't work. What I read in here didn't work in my own life. Signs and wonders, miracles. I didn't see any miracles. I felt absolutely powerless. I was frightened of telling other people about Jesus. If I saw people from school who'd went to school with me in the town, I'd duck and avoid them. So I didn't have to explain what I was doing now. My family, I tried to tell them, explain to them what was happening to me. They laughed. They weren't interested. And I had no personal power against sin. I'd asked God to forgive me for my sins. I believed I was forgiven. I was worshipping Jesus, following Jesus, and utterly defeated at the same time. Every time I came up against temptation, it was just a done deal. I lost. Every time. It was overwhelmingly powerful. And I was the loser. It was like me wrestling, you know, someone with muscles. Arnie Schwarzenegger or someone, or whatever his name is. Someone, you know, it was like me arm wrestling them. Bang. 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 That might be your experience right now. You might be absolutely defeated and trapped. There's an answer for you. Repent. Be baptized. And be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you. And then when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, everything changes. Everything changes. For me, everything changes. Then the pages of this, I was in. I was living it. I was. A friend of mine, a guy who became a Christian with me, he was also a punk rocker with me. He said, this was years ago when punk rock was in. the first time, yeah. He said, I'm going to this meeting about the Holy Spirit. And there's lots of young people there and guitars and all that. And me being a church expert, as I was, I'd been a Christian a few months, I said to him, oh, I'm not interested in all that modern rubbish. The church needs to get back to its roots. Not that I knew what those roots were, but... So he went off to this day on the Holy Spirit. And he came back transformed. I remember meeting him in a coffee shop in the John Paul Centre in Middlesbrough Town Centre. I was downstairs and he walked in the top, the bookshop. And there was a few steps down there where we were drinking coffee, me and Margaret. And he walked in, he didn't have to say anything. He'd met God. He was radiant. And he walked to the top of the stairs. And I remember standing up before he'd even come downstairs and saying to him, what has happened to you? And it was so dramatic. I remember he walked down the steps and said, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit and I can speak in tongues. I said, what are you talking about? He said, come in the loos and I'll show you. It's true. So he went in the loos, lifted his hands, spoke in tongues. I'd never heard anyone speak in tongues. I was awestruck. It was obvious he'd met with God. He was in. And I was still out. I was finding my way in, but I was out, actually. And he was absolutely transformed. Before that moment, I'd be the funny guy. I'd be the guy keeping him up, keeping him positive. He was always down and depressed and morose. Not anymore. It had flipped. He was full of life and God and animated and praying all the time and loved to read the Bible and pray. For me, it was just still hard work. And I realised, you know, whatever he's got, that's what I need. That's what you need. That's what we all need. To be filled with the Spirit of Jesus. Filled and absolutely on fire with God. Is that you? Is that the description of you? Because that's the only way Christianity actually works. And when we went to one of these meetings and we received prayer, you know, I didn't feel anything happen to me. I was expecting to. I thought, I'm going to fall on the ground, or I'm going to see a big light, or something's going to happen, it's going to be awesome. And I know some people do feel things, that's fine. I didn't. Felt nothing, but my life was absolutely and utterly transformed. It was just not the same. I spoke to my family with conviction and fire and passion, and they listened. Now, they hadn't before. Suddenly, miracles became the order of the day. Healing, all the things you'd read in the Bible just started to happen around you. Some of you know the story of my brother who was an alcoholic. And I'm telling you this story this morning because I think God wants to do this for someone here. Set people free supernaturally this morning. My brother was an alcoholic, was not interested in what had happened to me at all. But when we were filled with the Holy Spirit, they became more interested. And his wife rang me one day and said, "Oh, John's going to get his life together. He's going to Alcoholics Anonymous." And I said, he came on the phone. It was one of those times when you open your mouth and say things, you wish you could get the words back in. I didn't know why I said it, but I said, "Oh, John, what a load of rubbish." I mean, I don't think it is really, but what a load of rubbish. That's not what you need. What you need is Jesus. And he didn't like that. He put the phone down. But he rang me back a couple of days later and said, "Go on then, I'll give him a go." And I thought, well, what do I do now? I did. Because it took me months and months to come in. And I thought, he can't take that journey. It's too long. He was suicidal. He was losing his job in British Steel. His marriage was falling to bits. He was desperate. He needed a miracle. Like someone does here this morning. And I got him to one of these meetings on the Holy Spirit where I knew there'd be real Christianity in action, where there'd be all of this stuff, repentance, forgiveness of sins, the Holy Spirit, miracles. And we sat on the front row. It was Ampleforth Private School. It was a day of renewal when people from all different church backgrounds came together to talk about the Holy Spirit and receive prayer. Baptists, Anglicans, Methodists, Catholics, they didn't seem to care. We were just all together wanting to experience this for real. And I remember sitting them on the front row so they couldn't escape. There was about 300 people there. They'd never been to anything before. Can you imagine this? The poor things. They sat on the front row. Everyone was clapping and singing and dancing. They looked really uncomfortable. They didn't know what to do. And then a guy gets up to preach and he said, he preached about Jesus and started to pray for the sick. And he said, "There's someone here with a bad arm, where are you?" And people were getting healed in front of us. Our John had never seen anything like that. I hadn't, hardly. It was new for me. But he had never seen anything like that. And as they began to get healed in front of us, his eyes got bigger and bigger. And this guy said, "There's someone here with a bad shoulder, where are you?" This woman put her hand up at the back. He said, "Come forward, love, and we'll pray for you." She came forward and he said, "You don't really believe this is going to happen for you, do you?" She said, "I'm struggling a bit." So he got hold of her shoulders and turned around. He said, "You see that guy there?" Oh, he said, "Let me encourage your faith a bit." He took hold of her shoulders, turned around. He said, "You see that guy there?" Pointed to our kid. He said, "That man has a demon. But today, it's coming out." And he shouted from across the room, "In the name of Jesus, get out of him!" This was in the days before churches had carpets. It was a concrete floor. We were all stood up. My brother went bang on the floor. I looked at his wife. She looked at me. I tried to look as though I knew this would happen. But actually, I was as shocked as she was. This guy ignores him, carries on with the meeting, prays for this woman, starts praying for someone else. My brother's on the floor holding his shirt like this. Tears coming out of his face, rolling around on the floor. An alcoholic, not a Christian. I helped him to his feet to sort of help it to stop, to be honest. I didn't really know what was happening. Helped him to his feet and he helped and he did stop. And he opened his eyes, he was sobbing. And we said to him, John, what happened? And he said, Jesus spoke to me. And we all said, "What did he say?" And he said to me, "John, give me your heart." And I felt his hand reach for my heart, and there was a bit of a struggle. I didn't want to, and then I said, "All right, Lord, you can have my heart." And the battle was over. And when he stood up, you know what I'm going to tell you, don't you? He was totally free from alcoholism. He was born again. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. When he stood up, he could speak in tongues. I was sick. It took me 2 years. Took him 2 minutes. He'd met God. That is actually what it's like to meet God and be a Christian. It's not, I didn't go to church, now I do go to church. I didn't read the Bible, now I do. That might be part of it, a small part. Christianity is supernatural. It's supernatural. And it's the supernatural God who wants to save you. Save you. I had a picture, I'll end with this. I had a picture when I was walking here this morning of a man who was under his car, working on his car. Working on his car. There's oil all over him. He was struggling. It was hard work. And I just believe that's someone here today. And it's like it represents your life. You put it back together and you try and put it back together and you try and put it back together. And actually, Jesus has got a brand new car for you. He's got a brand new life for you. The answer isn't to keep patching it up, keep working on it. I'll hold my marriage together. I'll hold my life together. Actually, it's give it to Jesus. Receive from Jesus something brand new today. Let's stand, we'll pray, and then I'll give you an opportunity to respond. Sorry it's a bit later, but the Lord's here and wants to do things, so. And why don't we have the band back up? Is that all right? You come back up, Mick. And we'll sing a song, and as we do, why don't you just come forward for these things? You know, if you need to repent, if you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus, then I'm just encouraging you to come forward. And you can come forward with the person who brought you. If you're here as a guest, this is your opportunity to meet Jesus. Don't miss it. Don't walk out with the same issues and the same problems. God loves you, wants to meet with you. And if God's spoken to you about baptism this morning, if you know you need to be baptized, you come forward as well. And underline it. Underline it. There's always a battle around baptism. There's always a battle. Satan doesn't want you in the water. And you need to take some steps, draw some lines in the sand, and step over them to get into the pool. It's just a fact. If you've been spoken to about baptism, feel convicted about that, you come forward, and if someone prays for you, tell them what it is. And then there's this other category about being filled with the Holy Spirit and being delivered and set free from things. You come forward as well. The Lord wants to meet with you. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you this morning that you're here, that you're absolutely real, that the kingdom is here, and you want to do the things you always do. Lord, we pray for those who are trapped in sin this morning, who want to be forgiven, who want to come into relationship with you, who want to know their sins are forgiven, they're right with you, and they're going to heaven. Lord, help them now, we pray. We pray for them now. Speak to their hearts. Help them. Help them respond to you. And we pray for those other people, Lord, those who you're speaking to about baptism, that they just surrender to you and say, yeah. And for those of you hungry and thirsty, Mick sang earlier about being hungry and thirsty. You make sure you, if you're a Christian, make sure you leave this room on fire, won't you? On fire. With all the buttons on. Because it's absolutely available to you. Mick sang about thirst. When he did, I was thirsty. I looked over, saw that water thing. There's all the water you'd ever need in there if you're thirsty. But you have to walk over and get it. It's like that with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You come. Come and be filled. Be filled again. Be filled with fire. And if you need healing, or you need a miracle, you need deliverance from some habit, you come forward. We'll ask God to meet you, eh? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Do you want to sing them again? You can start to do that now. If you know God's spoken to you, come forward now.